there was a historian in the 14th century who wrote a book about what he knew of the world. And for that time, it was pretty good. One of the most interesting observations, the biggest takeaways, was that all the tribes that he observed that had difficulty feeding themselves were lean and very, very healthy. Those who had plenty of food were fat, lazy, and unhealthy. It's interesting. What does that even mean? How does it apply to you and to your life today, if it even does at all? Maybe it doesn't. That's what we'll figure out today. Welcome to the Sunday service. Now, we human beings, us, you, me, your loved ones, we don't deal with success very well. Kind of sounds weird, right? And just like I was talking about a minute ago, the tribes that had a hard time finding food were all really healthy and strong. Those that had an abundance of food were not healthy. They were overweight. They were just sick, not doing well. Right now, obesity across the entire earth, population, humanity, obesity is a bigger problem than hunger. It's amazing. Like truly amazing, with 8 billion people on planet Earth. Not only do we have enough food, we have so much abundance, so much food. We've almost gotten rid of hunger and starvation. And now such the majority of Americans are actually overweight. And we're transporting that through our diets and our lifestyle all across the world. So all the wonderful things that we do and have done in the United States, this is not going to be one of them. Us creating the McDonald's and the Kentucky Fried Chickens of the world. And I mean, how many fast food franchises or restaurants are there? So many. Plop them down here in the United States. Sure, you can watch a trend line go up, up, up with obesity and just general poor health and maladies and high blood pressure and cancer, and along with that, mental health problems and everything else. And we say, as a gift from us to you, rest of the world, you may also have this. We'll see how it all actually works out in the end, but we are awash in prescription medication. We are awash in mental health problems. Life abundance is eating our lunch, figuratively, and well, we're eating our own lunch. So not literally, but certainly figuratively speaking. All the major religions of the world, all of them, emphasize the importance of maintaining a healthy body. Recognize that there is a connectedness, an interconnectedness of our physical well-being with our spiritual and our moral well-being as well. And I think that we all know that that's true. None of this is going to be a surprise to you. But Christianity and the Bible talk about how your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We Christians talk about and are encouraged to take care of their bodies and avoid practices that may harm them. In Islam, the body is considered a trust from Allah. Muslims are encouraged to maintain good health. The Prophet Muhammad is reported to have said, "Take advantage of 5 before 5, your youth before your old age, your health before your illness." In Judaism, they view the body as a gift from God. There are dietary laws that guide adherence on what is considered clean and appropriate for consumption. Maintaining good health is seen as a way to fulfill one's religious duties. In Hinduism, there's the promotion of a concept called Ayurveda. It's an ancient system of medicine that focuses on a balance between the body, the mind, and your spirit. Yoga is a significant aspect of the Hindu philosophy, which includes postures, also known as asanas, that contribute to physical well-being as well. Buddhism encourages a balanced and moderate approach to life. That's for diet and exercise. Mindfulness and meditation practices are central to Buddhism. Just strong emphasis and connection between mental and physical health. Again, that we all know is true. Sikhs believe in the importance of maintaining good health as part of their duty to God. The Sikh scripture, Guru Granth Sahib, emphasizes the need for a balanced and disciplined life, which of course includes caring for your body. Confucianism and Taoism, while not strictly religious, are very influential and acknowledge the importance of maintaining balance. Again, like so many of the others, talking about the interconnectedness between physical health and your overall vitality. In Jainism, they promote nonviolence and a vegetarian lifestyle, contributing to physical health. Fasting and aesthetic practices are also part of the Jain tradition to purify both the body and the soul. So you see so many different through lines there that human beings have always, always recognized the connection between your physical body and your soul, your mental health, your overall vitality. And of course, we all know that that's true. Of course, we know how important it is. Yet here we are. So many of us unhealthy physically, so many of us unhealthy mentally. So again, that in each of these eight major world religions, the oldest religions known to humanity, profess the evidence of the importance of that. It's true. So again, here we are living in a time where we're embracing a concept called body positivity. And of all the things that have come to light, that have become popularized over the past recent memory, body positivity is one that is consistently one of the most frustrating to me and also one of the most confusing thing to me. And when we are talking about how not only is it okay to be physically unhealthy, but it's a beautiful thing too. It's a good thing. And that we are valuing that over personal responsibility and moderation is direct evidence that we have our priorities backwards, at the very least out of order. When we discover that the side effect of a miracle, so-called miracle weight loss drug, is muscle loss, instead of stopping its use, we pivot to taking another miracle weight loss or miracle pill that reduces muscle loss. So let's go through that again. Because if you're not aware of this, it's certainly happening. So if you're currently on a weight loss drug, you may be hearing in the not so distant future, there's a risk of bone loss, of muscle loss. And to counteract that muscle loss, good news, we've acquired another pharmaceutical company that produces a pill that combats muscle loss. So instead of stopping taking this very, very dangerous drug, you're going to keep doing that, but then you're going to add in this other drug. So you're going to lose the weight, but maintain the muscle. I think you understand what I'm sort of railing against. And I'm guilty of, have been for a long time, and will continue to be, of yucking people's yum. There's just not a panacea. There's not a miracle drug. It's not a magic pill, even though it seems like we're talking ourselves into the idea that we all know isn't true. We're just hopeful. It's so hopeful. And what it is really madness. We human beings have so many superpowers. We have these gifts, God-given gifts of our intellect, our ability to to learn, to innovate, to create. Another one of these superpowers we have is our ability to rationalize our different situations and our circumstances. I can make the best of any situation. I got sick. Okay. I'm going to deal with this. This is going to be an opportunity for me to refocus on what's most important to me, to rethink things, to reconsider things. Instead of just sitting around saying, woe is me, I say, no, I'm going to get past this. Not only that, I'm going to come out a better person because of it. But sadly, that superpower of rationalization more commonly, more often, takes the form of a weapon of mass destruction. Instead of using it for good, we use it to justify bad behavior. We use it to justify why we're not saving enough money, why we're not exercising consistently, why we're not spending time doing more constructive pursuits, why we spend so much time on our phones, why we stare at screens all day, why we do this, that, or the other thing. And the danger of it is that what we do when we justify poor behavior or lack of certain kind of activity is we are just accepting less than we truly want. And if you don't think that that has psychological effect, an extremely damaging psychological effect on you, I believe that you are wrong. Think about doing the opposite. If instead of just saying, you know what, I'll get to that tomorrow. At the end of the day, when you do everything you're supposed to, you are stacking and building and creating confidence and proving to yourself that you not only have the ability to do something, but you have the wherewithal to actually follow through and do it consistently, in spite of how you feel about it. Your life can be totally different if you did that for a month, 2 months, 3 months. You got up every day. You did the things that you just told yourself that you were going to do. And you're a better person. Or instead of doing that, you just rationalize away why I didn't do that. Why I didn't get around to that. Oh, you know, I got pretty busy. You know what? I shouldn't stress myself out. I don't know why I'm pushing myself to do all this extra stuff. It's just, I came to a path and I took the road commonly traveled instead of the road less traveled. That's really what this is. When we talk about things like body positivity, that's taking the road commonly traveled, not the road less traveled. These days, being personally responsible, practicing and engaging in moderation, working hard, taking on additional responsibility, going the extra mile, those are the road less traveled. The road commonly traveled is that of just rationalizing away why I don't have the things that I have, rationalizing away why I'm overweight, rationalizing away why I'm broke, rationalizing away why my relationships suck, rationalizing away everything, and then just accepting the things that I have, even though the things that I have aren't what I want. But I could talk myself into it. And we're doing that collectively. It's bad enough when I'm doing it as an individual, but when we're doing it collectively, or we're all agreeing to this farce, that's a terrible thing. I think we need to take a big step back and to refresh our perspective. Clean off the glass a little bit. There's some smudges on there. We're not seeing clearly. We need to remember what's true and what's false. And I'm not talking about your lived experience or your truth. I'm talking about objective truth, things that human beings have known for a really long time. And that's why it's in the text and the wisdom of those eight major religions that human beings have been following and adhering to for a really long time. What's true is this. Processed foods are bad for us. Exercise is good for us. Excess in most every aspect of life is bad for us. Moderation is good for us. These are things that you know to be true. You know these things to be true. But there's this wonderful quote that says that we need to be reminded more than instructed, more than we need to be instructed. Well, I think that right now we need to be both reminded and instructed. While some of this is common sense in regard to how do you have a healthy body, a lot of it is not obvious. And there aren't that many really, really clear signals out there. While it's wonderful that these days we have access to the world's information on our phones, right, in the palm of our hands, we also have the world's information right in the palm of our hands, and that's overwhelming. And there are a lot of people out there pushing ideas and agendas based on just whatever their ideas and their agendas are versus how do I find correct, true information? And the correct diet is a mystery. Your body is different than mine. Your body will respond differently to different inputs. You will get different outputs than mine. Should I be a vegan? Should I do keto? Should I be a carnivore? Paleo? Is it right to be vegetarian? And then unfortunately, we're all tribal about it as well, which is also extremely human. But is weight training better than cardio? So much going on. And with most things, it sounds easy and it does hard. I'm not sitting here telling you that any of this is easy, but that's how it goes. The things that are of the highest value in life are oftentimes the most difficult. The things that are easiest are often the lowest value items. It's called fast food for a reason. Go through a freaking drive-through in your car and are handed a giant bag of food for not that much money. So I get it. Beautiful convenience. But at what cost? As always, at what cost? So without a background in fitness and nutrition, why would you know how to do it? You wouldn't. You wouldn't know that any more than how to fix your toilet. Your toilet stopped working. Would you have any idea how to fix it? If I handed you a guitar, never seen a guitar before, picked one up, why would you know how to play it? We need to learn how to do these things. Not obvious, but also not out of reach. Extremely accessible. All within your control. 100%. 100% within your control. I'm just interested in hearing about your thyroid. I'm disinterested in hearing about really anything else. If you are engaged in a behavior that is damaging your physical body, it is nobody's fault but your own. But in service of helping you learn how, I'm interested in helping you figure out how to get good with your diet, how to get good with your exercise program. Here's how to do it. I think that there is a framework for getting good at anything. And certainly diet and exercise fall into the anything category. So the first thing that we must do is examine our existing beliefs and emotions around diet and exercise. What do you mean? What does that even mean? Well, how do you feel about exercise? How do you feel about it? What was your experience growing up with exercise? Did your family do it? Did your mom or dad exercise? Was athletics part of your background? These days, unfortunately, PE, gym, is only once a week, if at all, in schools. So you have giant, massive, massive chunks of our population that aren't even getting to run around during the day. Brutal. Terrible. So how do you feel about dieting? How do you feel about nutrition? What did your parents think about it? How was food discussed or done in your household? Maybe food was used just as a reward or as an incentive. There's so much going on here. So much going on with how we think and we feel and what our beliefs are about everything, but specifically in this, and what we're talking about here, with your diet and exercise. So that's what I would ask you to do, is to trace back into your childhood what nutrition and fitness, what the experience was, if at all. Because if you've never gone for a run, you've never walked into a gym, well, that's I totally get it. I empathize. It's a very, very foreign thing. It is maybe a very, very intimidating thing. And it's hard to make sense of calories and macros and carbs versus this, that, and the other thing. There's a lot going on. Okay, I totally get it. But first step, just think about, what do you think about nutrition? What do you think about exercise? What was your experience growing up? And then from there, I invite you, encourage you, I advocate that you decide how you want to think and feel about nutrition and fitness. It's another superpower that we have as human beings, is we have choice. I have very little control over the circumstances of my life, but I have absolute control over how I think, feel, and respond. So how would you like to think? How would you like to feel about your body? How would you like to feel about your physique? How would you like to feel about your health? Have you ever thought about that? How do you feel about it right now? How would you like to feel about it? You get to choose. And then the next step is, I want you to think really, really crystal clear about what your conscious goals are and what you want your body to look like. Would you like to be able to run a mile? Would you like to be able to touch your toes? Would you like to not be overweight? Would you like to be able to do push-ups? Would you like to be able to play tennis or pickleball or whatever? Would you like to have a better understanding of your nutrition? Would you like a six-pack? Would you like to just not have your joints hurt really badly? Would you like your back problem to go away? What would you like? What would you like your body to be like? Then I want you to decide on a course of action and make a plan for getting there. So if you want to lose weight, there's no easy way to do it without hurting yourself. Not going to spend much time on weight loss drugs. I've already talked a lot about them. My opinion on them, I'm pretty well documented on it. But there are just no long-term shortcuts. You can get short-term relief from some of these problems by taking a pill. But at what cost? There's a cost to it. You might not realize it. You might not want to know, but there is a price to be paid. There always is. But you need to figure out, okay, here's what I want to do. Do I know how to do it? I don't know if I actually know how to do that. So where can I get the learning that I need? Where can I get the education on nutrition? Where can I learn how to work out and exercise? Where can I learn how to lift weights? Okay? And then make a plan for doing it. And then the next step is, we need to make it real and sustainable in our lives. So you need to figure out what you need to do in order to overcome our nature as human beings. And particularly if you are attempting to make major or radical changes, not going to be easy, because we human beings follow predictable patterns, routines, and habits. Meaning, you got to where you are because you do things a certain way. So if you're overweight, not healthy, it's probably not a mystery on how it happened. And the only way out is to then make changes. So by the very nature of changing your life, it will require changes in your behaviors. So how can you actually make it stick? If you don't have a plan, you will pull the ripcord, you will bail out when things don't go your way. You oversleep a little bit, I don't have time today. You start rationalizing things again, and that's not acceptable. You need to be healthy, you want to be healthy, you want to have a good life. And everything is connected and tied together. That's really what I want. I want you to be healthy and to have the life that you really want. So you need to figure out how to make it happen by creating new habits and or piggybacking, and whatever new habit you're trying to create, find an existing habit and link it or marry it to something you're already doing. Okay. And then it's figuring out how to actually make it happen. So I talked about the new learning that you might need, but you might just need to hire a trainer to get you into the gym and to get you started, to navigate you through creating a program and to hold you accountable, or find a friend that you can go to the gym with or exercise with or go for a walk on your lunch break. It doesn't take much. Just getting started, just going for a walk, maybe as you begin your day around lunchtime and then at the end of the day as well, that can do it. And then make the investment in learning about proper nutrition, on how to go to the grocery store, what kinds of foods to buy, what kind of foods to avoid, and start doing it. And then have the will to do it or put the mechanism in place to ensure its completion. So whatever it's going to take, whatever support that you need, you're worth it. As with everything in life, I think that you are worthy of the life that you want. I think that you are deserving of the life that you want, but you are not entitled to it. Everything has a cost. There's a flip side to all of it. Life is a series of trade-offs. There are no solutions, only trade-offs, as Thomas Sowell famously said. So, to make change, you have to change. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. It requires an investment or a sacrifice, however you want to think about it. But again, you can do it. Human beings have recognized the importance and the need of having a healthy body for as long as we've been human beings. And again, we're not dealing well with success right now. In fact, we are literally tearing ourselves apart and killing ourselves. And that's not good. And I think that you know that it's not good. But hopefully I'm preaching to the choir. And you, yourself, are very, very healthy, determined, put together, organized, accountable person, self-disciplined person. That's what I hope. Wherever you're at, again, you're fully capable of being healthy and of thriving. And as always, I want you to do your part by doing your best.